is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Let's go right to the pride of Coral Springs High School in Broward County. Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports. Pete, good morning, man. How you been?
Good, Joe. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. So I'm really on this, and I'm getting blasted by Dolphin fans because I'm calling myself 7-seed Joe now. Because they're 4-6, they got the Patriots, they got the Jets twice, they've got the Browns, they got a couple of tough ones, 49ers at home, Houston on the road, and Green Bay obviously on Thanksgiving night. I just think they still got a chance. That door for the 7-seed is not shut, but we need Denver to come back to the pack. So what's your thought before we get going on, am I just out of it, or what do you think?
No, they're still alive, Joe. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. They got to win probably, you know, they can afford to lose maybe one more, and that's it.
Right.
And so, you know, navigating through that schedule is going to be tough. And so, yeah, because they get three tough games, and so you get that means you can't go 1-2 in those games. You got to win two of them.
Yes.
And that's going to be – and you can't blow another one. So that's going to be the challenge. But, you know, the Broncos, you know, you look at their schedule. At the Raiders, that's never an easy game. Browns is an easy game. Colts is at home. That's a relatively easy game. Then they got at the Chargers, at the Bengals, home against the Chiefs to close it out. So, I mean, it's not like they got a tough end of the season. That's going to be a problem for them. So, yeah, it's possible. And the Dolphins are playing well. Tua's playing well. So it's entirely possible. But, you know, maybe if they had –
Yeah, I'd like to have one of those two back, either against Arizona or figure a way to beat that Buffalo in that tight ball game would have made a big difference. All right, so, boy, I'll tell you what, this Jets thing, it just now Joe Douglas joins Robert Saleh as far as unemployed. That thing is a mess. I don't know if those reports are true that Aaron Rodgers, the owner, wanted Aaron Rodgers benched. I don't know if I buy that or not, but What's your take on what has happened and how bad this thing's gotten in New York with the Jets?
Well, it starts by giving way too much power and influence to the quarterback to start. I mean, you went and got him. He went and brought all his buddies in, and none of them could run. None of them could play. It didn't work. He had the friction with the head coach. And so that started it. When you have an owner that reportedly is, you know, influencing decisions, that's never a good thing. So you get rid of – you go get Devontae Adams, supposedly liven up the offense, didn't work.
No.
Didn't work at all. You know, you put your intern – you put your defensive coordinator in as the interim coach, and the defense stinks now suddenly, which has been a calling card for him. So it's just a mess. It really is. And, you know, Joe Douglas had six games left on that contract. You kind of embarrassed him by doing it in the middle of the season. He was going to go. But what does that accomplish? It gets on, what do? You get on with it? Get on the search committee? I mean, it really doesn't accomplish anything.
You know what I took that as? He did one for the fans and the media. I think he just wanted to show everybody. I really do. Like, these guys are bad. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. They're gone and the whole thing from there. By the way, do you think teams listen to the media and listen to the fan base and what people are saying?
No, because if that were the case in Jacksonville, they would have blown them all out already, and it hasn't happened. I mean, you know, the fan base is just calling for them all to be fired, and the media is calling for them all to be fired, and he hasn't done a thing. So I don't. I think, you know, they do it on their own timetable. They do what makes them look good. And they, you know, look, for example, I'll tell you, season ticket renewal letters go out in 2 weeks in Jacksonville, and they got to make people have to make a decision by the end of December whether they're going to renew. Or not, you know, if you already have a season ticket, that is. And so I think, you know, you would think firing the coach and the general manager would amp up the optimism around there, maybe help ticket sales. But here you are on a bye week after getting blasted last week by Detroit. And he hasn't made a move. So I don't think they do. And quite frankly, nor should they.
Hey, Pete, so as Belichick's name keeps getting mentioned with Dallas and Jacksonville, do you see that, either one of them, happening?
Well, I'll tell you where the Jacksonville stuff emanates from. It's definitely from the owner's son, Tony Khan has a strong, you know, affinity for him and has spent time around him. And I think that's where that comes from. But he's 72. I mean, look, I'm as an old fart in this business, I'm not going to sit here and say he can't do it. But in that situation, because you know why he wants to come back. He wants to break Shula's record. So if he comes back, is that a situation that you want in Jacksonville, A? And B, who's going to work with him when if he doesn't have football power? Because that's going to be a disaster. And giving him football power is even more of a disaster. Because you saw what happened to the Patriots roster with Bill Belichick, you know, picking the players. It was Bill Belichick, head coach, got fired because Bill Belichick, general manager, couldn't pick players. And so if he's not going to have that power in the building, who's he going to work with to make it work? And so I think that's the problem there. In Dallas, it would make more sense because Jerry thinks he's the de facto general manager, and how would that work out? So I think there's a lot of things at play. Age being one of them, because I don't think he's in the process of going through a rebuild. He wants to come back and get Shula's record.
Right. Hey, getting back to Aaron Rodgers, one other thing we've been talking about, and I was going to ask you. You think Aaron Rodgers is, number one, back with the Jets next year? If they just realize this is not good, he's out. And then the second part of that is anybody else? There's still a shortage of quarterbacks out there. Take a shot on Aaron Rodgers, or has he just become too much of a pain in the ass?
Well, I think he's done with the Jets. I think that ship has sailed. They got to move in a different direction. It just call it what it is. It was an abject failure. It was an F. You grade it, you give it an F. So they got to move on from him. He's probably going to move on. Wants to move on from there, anyways. But here's the thing with him. It seems like the fire's gone. You know, he doesn't look like he loves it anymore. And if that happens, it's time to go. And sometimes guys just go off the cliff. The injuries have taken their toll on him. He doesn't look like the same player. He doesn't move the way he used to. He doesn't look excited about it. It just doesn't look good. And when it gets to that point, you know, it's time to go. He told me, I remember standing in his locker room, he told me, 40 is the new 30 for NFL quarterbacks. And well, he's 40, but he isn't playing like he's 30. No. I can tell you that. So I think it's done. I do. I think it's done.
I just think, I don't know, and I don't know this for sure, I think Aaron Rodgers wants to be so badly be in the Tom Brady class of, like, I left one team and won a championship and another, and I think that he thought that Jets thing was going to be so perfect. And he got Brett Favre on it, man. It's just not working.
No, it isn't. And then if you say, like, okay, next year, if you want to go to a team that you think is close and needs a quarterback, where is that? You know what I mean? Like, where would that be? You look around, it's none of the Florida teams. I mean, I just don't see where there's an opportunity for him. And that the Raiders, that's not a good team. And you know, they're going to be looking for a quarterback. And you know, Tom Brady probably will be making that decision when he leaves.
That's hilarious, by the way. We find out Tom Brady says no to Aaron Rodgers being a quarterback would be.
Could you imagine that?
Oh, that's great.
But if you're the Raiders, you're not. If you're Rodgers, you don't think the Raiders are close. So you know, I don't think you do that. So I think the hard part will be finding him a spot. You know. Minnesota, what if Darnold leaves? But they got, you know, the kid. They want the kid to play, J.J. McCarthy. So where is a spot for him? That's the question.
Yeah. Hey, so we've been talking a lot about the Dolphins. No matter what happens this year, they got to do something with the quarterback. They can't get caught, again, not having a prepared backup quarterback to keep things going so they don't go through what just happened for four games when Tua was gone. You see it as a drafted guy? Because you're not going to get probably one of the highest picks in the first couple of guys. I don't know how strong the quarterback class is, but you start looking at a veteran. I threw out Daniel Jones, who's got to start looking at maybe being a backup quarterback in this. What do you think the Dolphins would do most likely? Draft a guy to develop him and be the backup, or get one of these veteran guys that's played a lot that hasn't had consistent success?
I would get a veteran guy. I mean, Daniel Jones, somebody like that would make a lot of sense. I just think, because look, if you're playing that guy more, whoever it is, if you're playing him more than three or four games, you're done anyways. But if you're a veteran quarterback, at least you can go in and operate the system. I thought Mike McDaniel failed with those backup quarterbacks. He tried to fit them into what he did instead of building it around them for a week or two. And so I think that was a problem as well. But he wasn't prepared for it. They weren't prepared for it, and I don't think they did a good job handling it. So why not get a veteran to bring him in there and let him, you know, don't go pay him a boatload of money, but better minimum, bring him in, let him, you know, be the backup and be good guy in the room. You want to have a good guy in the room too. You know that's important when the quarterback room. You have to have a good guy in there. And so I think, yeah, they got to handle that better because there might be a situation where Tua goes out again, and he can't be that bad on offense when he does go out.
Yes, we all agree with that one for sure. So this MVP race has been kind of fun, especially after watching Buffalo and Kansas City. My God, another entertaining game when those two play. Who'd be your MVP right now as we start to down to the second half of the season?
I think it's between Allen and Lamar Jackson right now. And Jared Goff is in that as well. I think those are the three. I think it's the two at the top, I think, are neck and neck. And you know, what Josh Allen has done this year is he's changed the way he plays. And you guys saw it firsthand. You know, he used to be reckless, wild. You know, you had to tame him a little bit, and they've tamed him. And he's better. And he's a better quarterback now. He's a much better quarterback than he's been, and he's always been dynamic. But, you know, but he's still capable of making the play with his legs when he has to, and still capable of throwing the ball down the field. You haven't seen the best of that Bills team yet, by the way. The, you know, once they got Cooper, he went out for two games. And then when he came back, you know, Coleman and Kincaid were out.
Right.
So when they're all in the field together, that's going to be a tough offense to stop. And defensively, they don't get the due they deserve. That group, you know, you talk about cornerbacks in this league. Everybody talks about cornerback groupings. The Douglas, Benford, Taron Johnson grouping is one of the most, if not the most underrated group in the league. And Sean McDermott does a great job. Bobby Babbage has done a great job with that defense. They don't get the credit they deserve. That's a good team. I picked them before the season to win the Super Bowl, and I still think they're going to.
That's
going to
be an interesting one. A lot of it probably has to do with home field for them. But, you know, the Lamar Jackson thing, my God, you know, he might throw 35, 36, 37 touchdown passes. And he's going to have damn near 1,000. I know he slowed down over the last few weeks, but he's going to have close to 1,000 yards rushing again on top of it. It's just something we're not used to seeing, except this guy, when he does it and still running really, really well. Hey, they got some heat last week in that loss to Pittsburgh. The big horse didn't touch the ball late. Mistake? Not letting that happen or not being on the field in the fourth?
Yeah, but you're also taking the ball out of the. I mean, I didn't like the play call where they ran. You know, they ran on the 2-point play where they ran Lamar Jackson to the left. I mean, he limited what he could do there. I didn't like that play call at all. You had all the action going to the right and ran him back to the left, which was bad. But it's hard for me to find fault with any time you have Lamar Jackson with the ball in his hands, giving him a 2-way go. I just wouldn't have gone that way. I would have gone the other way. And so, no, I don't have a problem with it, but. The concern was is that they didn't play well on offense. He didn't play well. Lamar Jackson didn't play well. And they had gone into that game not playing well on defense.
Right.
So, and here's the thing. You know, you talk about Lamar's numbers. They play the Chargers this week. If the out in L.A., if the Chargers beat them, they're 6-5. And we're talking about MVP for a 6-5 team. I don't know necessarily.
No, that's a good point. That's a good one because wins are going to have to be into play here as well. So before I let you go, you weren't huge. I think you're trying to be somewhat nice to me on my 7 seed, Joe. I didn't buy that you were completely buying that.
They're
take.
Not dead, though. No, they're not dead, though. I mean, look.
They're not dead. All right.
They're not dead. I mean, and again, it's possible, but unlikely. It's definitely unlikely. I'll tell you the team that Miami and Cincinnati are the two teams that none of the playoff teams would want to get in. I'll be honest with you. I don't think, you know, the way the Dolphins have played on defense in recent weeks, that's impressive, too.
Anthony Weaver, man, has done a great job, boy, with what he has, and they play great as a group. I don't think they have a lot of star power. But as a group, they play really, really well, to your point.
And
I totally agree.
Campbell has proven everything they thought he would be.
You said it. You told me he was. He's 38. He acts like he's 25. He's the MVP of the team.
Don't you remember when we were there and Omar was – and I went to Omar and I said, Omar, he's going – he was criticizing for his practices and he's not – he's implying that he didn't have it anymore. And I go, Omar, it's a veteran taking a veteran day. Give him a break. And I go, you watch when the putt – when the helmet goes on and it's time to play for real, he'll be good. He was. He's been great.
Don't worry. Omar's all over that bandwagon. The other day, oh, my God, we did Calais Campbell Day. He's changed that tune. Don't you worry about old Omar there, Pete.
You know what?
He's
come
around.
Omar's got to listen to me more often, doesn't he?
Oh, that'll get him going this morning. He'll be texting back there like, I wish Pete wouldn't have said that. Thanks, Pete.
You got it.
Appreciate it. Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBS Sports. He got a shot in on Omar. That is. Omar strikes again. That's amazing. Omar gets to everybody. Baptist Health South Florida. I hope you don't have to go to Baptist Health South Florida and one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. I hope you stay healthy. But bottom line is, if you're competitive and you're active in team sports or individual sports or just conditioning, you're going to get hurt. And it sure is nice to have one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. That thing Baptist Health South Florida has put together is unbelievable. Well, where do the pros go? Inter-Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU. They all belong to the Baptist Health team, team doctors. And it's all about, for me, not only great team doctors, but the top specialists that they have for any kind of knee problem you have or shoulder or foot and ankle or hand, back, hip and knee replacement, even Achilles, all these specialists that they brought into this team to make it for Dade and Broward and Palm Beach County. We got you, man. We got you with the best in the business. You don't have to go somewhere else to see the best. They're here right now with three great locations, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables at Hard Rock right next to the training facility and 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One goal every day about getting you healthy, back out playing the sports you love the most.